Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh, hello, listeners. This is Jenny here. I have an apology to make. It is all my fault. Mea culpa, mea culpa. I had to record the podcast at my sister's today, and I didn't take the right microphone and kit with me. And consequently, some of the sound, some of the audible is a little bit awry. I promise that next week it will be better. What a nightmare. Anyway, bear with. And it's very enjoyable anyway. I mean, don't give up on us.
I'm clapping.
Now then, Judith. I might sound a bit different this week.
You do.
I hope you can hear me loud and clear. I haven't got all my equipment with me. I have had to come down the road. I'll just wait for the music to stop. I don't know why I bothered trying to talk over it. But there we go. Okay.
Yes.
Coming in now. Okay. Where do you think I am? I've come down the road.
Well, you're not at the shop. You're not at the corner shop, I wouldn't have thought. You're at Sarah's.
I'm not at the corner shop.
You're at Sarah's.
I'm at Sarah's in a spare room. It's quite strange, right? It's quite, okay, for starters, it's quite strange that we live on the same road, but we do. And it's weirdly sort of satisfying and comforting, despite the fact that, you know, when we were children, we used to fight, and didn't have much in common. I really like the idea that my sister lives down the road. It takes me back to sort of books I used to read when I was a child, like The Family at One End Street, and everybody knew each other. Anyway, I mean,
no, I get that. I'm rather envious because I don't have a sister at all. Must be lovely.
You've got me. I'm like a surrogate, slightly offensive younger sister who can't be trusted entirely and might just borrow your things without asking. I can't borrow my sister's things without asking because I can't get my arm into the sleeve of any of her things.
Oh, she's tiny, isn't she? Because she came to the show.
Oh, she's like a bird. She's like a bird.
Right. She's tiny, weeny. Are you sure she's your sister? Have you had it tested?
It's quite a cruel thing to say. There's a thin side of the family. Yeah.
You didn't get that bit.
Well, I'm not sure I want to be that thing, Judy.
I've got
heavy thighs and meaty arms. That's what I've got. It's interesting because, I mean, sort of some of the stuff I recognise from our old house, you know, in the house where we grew up together. And I'm just thinking, how come she got that? Why does she get, you know, but it's because she always had somewhere to live before I did, really. So she kind of got stuff.
She nabbed
it's a very
she?
Pleasant
she
bedroom.
She nabbed a few things. Have you opened any drawers?
Not yet, but I'll just open the drawer. Oh, this is very empty. This is quite disappointing. It's a spare bedroom and there's nothing fucking in it.
No.
Honestly,
Jenny.
I might bring some shit down from my house and just sort of fill a few. Her house is absolutely just overflowing. I mean, Daisy's leaving this weekend, you know.
Oh,
not
she?
Podcast Daisy. She's never leaving. No, she's never leaving.
Oh,
her podcast Daisy's with us forever. She's not allowed. She's contractually obliged.
Absolutely.
And we missed her last weekend when we did our show. She wasn't there because she was at a wedding. What's that talking about, Judith? I've lost it.
You were talking about Daisy. Daisy in the attic, who's packing up and going.
Oh, Daisy in the attic, who's going. Yeah, the mad girl in the attic is going at the weekend. And weirdly, of course, I'm going to miss her. And she's got her end of year Lambda ball on Sunday night.
Oh, has she?
And I don't know, do your girls do this? She rented a frock.
Oh, no, I think that's a sort of relatively new, isn't it? It's a bit newer than when my girls were at college.
Yes.
What a good idea.
Yes, because she's like the 10 years, good 10 years younger. Daisy's 22.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, it's a posh dude.
Whoa,
and I have to say, this parcel turned up for her.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
She gets a parcel every day, you know. She just fell out of this parcel, Judith. And I have to say, it was very beautiful. It was by a label called Ganny that she couldn't afford to buy herself. So she's hired it for 6 days. It's £10 a day.
Wow.
Which, I mean, if you manage to just hire it for 3 days, it's actually quite cheap.
Well, exactly.
I mean, it is a spectacular frock.
Is
yes.
It? Is
and
it?
Because she's leaving, I've gone into kindly mode, you know, where I'm sort of suddenly going, well, I think I've got a wrap that will go with that. I think I've got... In fact, and she came up to the dressing room bit and we found this white water satin coat with all pearl buttons all over it.
Oh,
not
fair.
A pearly queen kind of thing. I mean, yeah, she's going to borrow that. She did look very lovely in it, I have to say. Yeah.
Why would you rent it for 6 days, though? I bet that's clever of them, that you're only allowed to do it for quite a few more days than you actually need, I would think, wouldn't you?
Well, I think maybe you've got to get it cleaned. I don't know. Maybe that gives it time to sort of...
Of course.
You know, maybe just hang it outside the window so the sweaty smells disappear and the fake tan starts to wear off and all that kind of thing.
Oh, fake tan.
Because Daisy did have a good look at it. And she said, well, it's got quite sort of fake tan stains on the inside. But she said, that doesn't matter because I'll be adding some more. I mean, you know, my fake tan, the sheets in our house at the moment are disgusting. Disgusting.
Well, that would annoy me.
You don't
that
use it, do you?
Well, I do it on my legs, but I mean, that would really annoy me if it did that on the sheets. No, I mean, I know you're not fussed about things like that, but that would really perturb me. How stupid of it.
It just looks like someone's been eating Caramac underneath the duvet on my side of the bed.
Do you remember Caramac? Oh, I
yes.
loved Caramac.
Do you remember? Because it used to be a triggerdy, Judith. A triggerdy.
You're
going to have to go out on your bike and buy some Caramac.
I don't think they sell it anymore.
I don't know whether it exists. It used to be, it was Miriam Margolyes doing the voice of the bunny for Caramac. She was the sexy bunny. Yeah.
I don't remember that.
And people thought it was some sexy 22-year-old doing the voice and it was hairy old Miriam.
Gosh, she's very versatile, isn't she? What was lovely about Caramac? It was sort of in between Milky Way, which I went through a big phase of, and, you know, Cadbury's Dairy Milk. But it was quite thin, wasn't it? Do you remember? It was quite thin.
It was a dainty bar.
A dainty bar.
It was
bar.
A dainty bar. That's
it was
what
a dainty
it was.
Bar.
Yeah,
exactly.
It was.
It wasn't chunky. It was dainty.
So, now then, okay. Well, let's go back to the fact that last weekend we had.
Oh.
It's difficult to talk about how much we enjoy the live shows in case the next one is an absolute disaster.
Oh, don't say that. You'll jinx it. Stop it. But I know
well,
what you mean.
I just can't believe we keep getting away with it. You know, we just have a really fun time.
I know, and they seem to be having a fun time too. But the only frustrating thing is that, well, for me, because I'm so new at this, is that, you know, you don't really get to meet them, do you, properly? I'd quite like to mingle. I'd quite like to have a bit of time, you know, maybe in disguise, kind of, you know, just finding out what they're like, really, up close and personal. Wouldn't you? A bit.
No, Judith, they don't want us mingling. They've seen
no,
they've been watching
don't.
Us for nearly two
no,
hours. They've kind of had their no. fill.
Yeah,
they want to talk to each other and move on. Do you know what I mean? And listen, we have to apologise. We couldn't cope with this. We had to apologise to the listeners who emailed in with tickets that they suddenly couldn't use.
Yes.
Right?
We got into a mess, didn't
and
we?
And we got quite a flurry of these on sort of the day before the show or a couple of days before the show. And we lost track of names, who wanted money for them,
and who was
willing to give them away.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in the end, we abdicated responsibility. Abdicated?
Well, yes, I think that'll work. I think that's okay. No, we didn't. We got into a right
muddle. We were overwhelmed.
And
yes.
Also, the problem is that you just think, wait a minute, was that on an Instagram thread? Or was it on an email? Or was it on a text? Or, you know, and all of that. You have to check this, check that. It's all over the place, I was. Yeah, we weren't very efficient.
Yeah, and we couldn't. I'm so sorry. I'm really sorry. The best thing to do, if you're in this situation... Possibly, I'm not sure about this either, is to phone the theatre and see if you can return them for resale. I'm just trying to pass the buck here, to be quite honest. We'd like to say thank you for the gifts, don't we, Jane?
Oh, absolutely. Jane Bond gave us gin and tonic measures that she's potted.
Mini cheddars. No, Jane Bond will have made those little jugs for the gin and tonics.
Yes, she has.
She's a potter.
She's made those. Yeah, and
we had handmade craft delivered to the dressing room. Yes,
we did.
For poem.
We got a book.
Yeah, we're not sort of touting for more stuff, by the way.
We got
paintings of us. I put mine up on the notice board.
Have you lost yours? No, it's here on my desk.
Have you not unpacked your gig bag?
Oh, well, you've got it in one.
You haven't unpacked your gig bag yet, have you?
Oh, I've got a gig bag now. Oh, I've got a gig bag.
Yeah.
Gig bag? Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't. Oh, God, it's been a busy week. I don't think I can remember such a busy week. It's been terrible. Yeah, I mean...
Oh, really?
Yeah. But no...
We've had the twins already 2 days.
Of the twins, and we had to drive a long way to do an errand in Norfolk. That knocked out a day. And I've got the travelling dinner party looming on Saturday, which is the same day as the
Jesus
next show.
Jesus, no.
Yes.
But Jesus, you judically can't do it. You cannot do it.
Well...
You're in show business now. You're allowed to be selfish. You just phone around and just say, I'm gigging. Fuck this. What are you meant to be making?
Well, I already bagged in the pudding course, thinking that A, I'll be back, and B, I've just had an idea. Maybe I could just be late. Maybe I could just be really late back from the show.
Of course you can be late. You can't. We're not going to finish till 5 o'clock. You're not going to get to the station till 6. You're not going to get home till 8 o'clock.
I know, it is. It's the house is a mess, and I'm so busy.
I don't know
busy.
How you think you're going to be there.
Oh, I know. I've committed myself now because Mike made me, because we don't want to lose our slot at the travelling dinner party. It's a bit of a status symbol. And they're a very nice bunch, but it just might have to be ragged round the edges this time, really. But it is. And I'm thinking, I've cheated. And whether I admit this or not, I don't know. I've cheated because I've ordered a cheesecake, because the theme this time is K, right? It has a different letter theme each.
K.
K is an odd letter to be doing, isn't it? So kiwi. So I've ordered a kiwi.
I do ketamine. That's what I do. No, I do ketamine. I just get a load of ketamine.
Kellogg's.
That's what we're having.
Maybe you could just do special K.
Yeah, cornflakes.
Exactly. I could have done a variety pack each. That'd have saved me a bit of trouble,
wouldn't it? Yeah, they'd have loved that. All the boys would have been really excited. Or you could have combined two things. You could have done special K with ketamine. It's on top. I don't know how you take ketamine. I don't know whether it's a powder form or liquid. I've no idea. But anyway, with K. So you're doing kiwi fruit cheesecake.
And he said quiche, which I've ordered. And obviously, I've got to find another one. And then I'm thinking, what should I do?
Yeah, but kiwi fruit, Judy.
Yes.
Fruit, it's spelt with a Q, kiwi.
It's not.
Spelt with a Q.
It's spelt, don't be ridiculous, it's spelt with a K.
I tried that.
Oh, stop it.
Yes, it is. But hold on, how could you do panna cotta? There's no K in panna cotta.
Well, I know, but I can't just do, you can't do one pudding. It has to be two puddings that are offered. Oh, yeah, but what else am I going to do beginning with K? I mean, the special K thing is quite a laugh, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? It would get you.
Yeah, it is.
You know, it's quite a laugh, but I'm
think
not sure.
You could. I think you could do Rice Krispie cakes, Kellogg's Rice Krispie cakes. I think people would.
Oh, that's a good idea. Or cornflake
cakes. That would actually go quite well. Yes, it would go quite well with, as long as it's by, you know, Kellogg's. That's your K.
Yes.
And if you use really posh chocolate.
Oh.
And maybe, right, this is the poshest I've ever got with a Rice Krispie cake or a cornflake cake.
Yeah.
Is you could put raisins in.
Really?
Have you ever done
see
that?
Them. You wouldn't see them. I'm not doing that.
Yeah. It's part of it. That. It becomes, or glacé cherries. They did that in the 70s.
I think there's something
quite charming about that.
Yes.
I think you could get really posh chocolate, like green and black's chocolate, melt
indeed.
That down.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I'm loving it.
And
I'm
if you've got fancy little paper cases.
Just what I was thinking.
So they were...
Yes, just
absolutely.
What I was thinking. There might be a case for a doily.
Not often a case for a doily in life. Might be a case.
Me.
Do you remember doilies? Do you remember them?
Oh, yeah. Doilies and antimacassars. The two things went together.
Yeah. Did your mum have doilies?
My parents never had either. Never had. No.
Yeah, they're a bit too upmarket, really.
She was so non-doily.
Yeah.
My mother was very non-doily.
Oh, no. My mother was. I can picture was she now doily? The packet. Yeah, very much so. Serviettes and doilies. And I can picture the packet. I haven't thought about
it. My mother
years.
Used to throw filthy napkins, linen napkins that have been in the house for about 110 years that she never adequately washed. Well, I think we've sorted your pudding crisis.
So sorted it. Can be done in advance. There's going to be a lovely licking out bowl.
Yeah.
Lovely licking out bowl, they'll be there. Lots of it will go in
you
my mouth.
You can't actually say licking out in public. You can't say licking out in public. It's disgusting.
Not?
It sounds filthy.
I suppose you can't really.
It's because it sounds like, you know, it's a bit rude, Judith. It just sounds very rude.
Well, I haven't thought of that.
And then people will laugh at them. They won't eat them and the twins will eat them. Are they eating things like that? They can eat stuff like that,
aren't
they?
I'm afraid they are. Yes, they are.
Oh, there's nothing afraid about that. It's brilliant.
Well, because some parents keep them off sugar, don't they, for ages. They do all that business.
Yeah.
You know? They like a bit of sugar, I'm afraid.
Just a quick Arlo update.
Yes,
now,
how's he doing?
Last week I talked about the tongue tie. He's doing so much better on his food.
Oh,
I mean, it just is. I mean, you know, we're grabbing wood as we say it, but...
Yep.
And he's still behind, you know, he's still doing the 7 month plus pouches, particularly when he's at my house. I cannot bear the idea of cooking a nice piece of salmon and mashing it up some broccoli and then him turning his nose up at it.
Oh God, absolutely.
Yesterday, he had a jar of Heinz chicken and mango curry, which I have to say, Jeff was looking at with quite a lot of interest. Because... I have realised that I think Jeff has had a non-diagnosed tongue tie all his life. I said, put your tongue out the other day. Let's see how much tongue you can stick out.
Yeah.
And very little.
Interesting.
I mean, obviously it's stretched over the years and everything like that.
Yeah.
But I genuinely think, and that's why he has a phobia about bones. And
bones, exactly. That's what I was just thinking about. Yeah.
Yeah,
gosh,
yeah.
He's right.
He has a terror of choking, and I think it comes from being a child and possibly having had tongue tie, and you know nobody ever giving him any credit for what he was actually managing to do, and all this sort of thing. So we had, Arlo came round yesterday, and because this the change in his diet now, so he's sort of this might be too much for some people, but I'm very sorry. Remember, it's not costing you anything. And he did, you know, because now he's doing more solid poos.
And there's a moment you were gonna say
on a baby's face. You know, he's crawling around. And suddenly, he come to a very abrupt halt. And there's this look in his eyes of utter shock. And because he's not very used to it. And it's just, what is going on with my bum? And it's just... Very sweet. It's very sweet. I think this is probably the time to get the potty out.
Yeah.
I sent you, Daisy, a video. When you watch that video, you'll know the moment where he goes, something's going on down the nether end, isn't it? I think everything he does is so cute.
Oh, I know.
How are the twins?
They're fine. I mean, Eddie does exactly the same thing. You can tell exactly. He stops what he's doing. And he doesn't exactly, you know, it's just a strange look. We've captured it actually on camera too. But my God, they do big ones. I tell you what, the size of one.
Oh, really?
It's a two-man job. It's not a single. You need four hands to be dealing with it.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I mean, I haven't said why I'm here.
Well, yes, why?
Because they're knocking 7 bells of shit out of next door.
Oh, they started the work.
They've started the work. They're more or less rebuilding. There's a little white 60s house next to ours, which we built. We built our own house 15 years ago. So it's a little bit of payback time. So all of a sudden we are the neighbours who are having a new build next door. And we can't, there's nothing we can say. You can't exactly say, would you mind not making a noise? Because we did it. We created havoc for nearly 2 years. So, and they are such nice people. My sister's coming. What are you doing? You're taking your tiny clothes off the drying rack. Oh, well, do you want to leave them in a pile outside? And then when I've finished recording the very important podcast, Sarah, who she's waving, we're not recording. Did you enjoy the show on Sunday, Sarah? Yeah, she sent Judith an email.
She sent me a delightful email.
She sent me a very short text, and I got a lovely card from her friend Carrie. Are you going? Oh, it was addressed to both of us. Sorry, we got a lovely card. Yeah, I don't want to go downstairs. I'm very happy here. Thank you very much. I'm quite happy with how things are. Lots of love. Bye. on the drying rack now, some of the smallest pants I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, really?
Smallest pants.
Really? I've got a pair of knickers on today. Yeah. I need to throw them away, really. They just fall down all the time. I'm forever having to yank them up. Why are they doing that? Why are they falling down? They're not loose. I need some long johns like yours,
I've seen like mine. Yeah. I can't believe that you're 5 years older than me and you've never...
And I've got
just a long line knicker before.
No, I keep meaning to get some.
You really need to get onto that. But I think you've got a... I don't think the tops of your thighs chafe as much as mine because you're pelican. As I always say, you're pelican shape. You've got long, slim legs.
Possibly, yes.
Yes, so you don't have quite the same chafing problem. Phoebe's coming this Saturday. Yeah,
I'm excited.
Well... Yeah, the trouble is, the first time Phoebe ever came to see anything of mine, she was about, I mean, you know, my stand-up was just so unsuitable. So she's about 12, I think, when she saw a play that I had written. And afterwards, she gave me quite a lot of notes.
Did she, even when she was 12?
Oh. She did. Yeah, right. She just said, she said, you need to not always try so hard. She said, because otherwise there's no pacing. She said, you just go full tilt all the way through and nobody has time to breathe.
Wow. She knew that at 12. Yeah. God, you could see she was going to be a playwright. That's amazing at 12.
Well,
I mean, very, very helpful and useful, but you just wanted her to come backstage and say, Mummy, you are brilliant.
Yeah. So you are the best. You are the best in the world.
I had no idea how talented you are. Yes.
Yes.
Mike's not coming this week.
He's not coming again. He's got to be home making the pudding.
Yes, he had. Exactly. No, he's here, but he's coming to the last show. But I tell you what, he's getting a little bit big-headed because he's quite mobbed last week. Quite mobbed by the game.
I know.
Yes,
I know.
I know. Yeah. Somebody said...
People want their photos taken with him.
Yes. Somebody said he looked dapper. Somebody said he's turning into a bit of a heartthrob. Yeah, it's getting quite big for his
boots. Oh my God,
boots.
Judith, I've created two monsters. There's you, on all show business and lovey. And Mike, suddenly like J-Lo's best boyfriend.
Yeah. Is Jeff coming?
I think he'll come to the last one. You know, I've always had a slight phobia about Jeff seeing me fail. And first time he ever saw me do stand-up, I died on my ass.
And he became
so paranoid about ever coming again that sort of for 40 years, he's barely seen very much of my stuff. He's read all my books and... He used to see the Grumpy shows, but he's not seen my stand-up shows. I don't know. We both have a slight kind of weird thing about it, which is stupid superstition, but that's how superstition works, isn't it? I mean, it's ridiculous, but there we go.
Yeah, that's right. In the old days,
he used to drive me and sit outside for like 3 hours.
Did he?
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. He's always been incredibly supportive, but he was just scared. So,
I think there is this disconnect, isn't there, between what you are on stage, obviously more for your stand-up, I would imagine, and what you actually are.
Yeah.
And there's an element of that, I think, with me and the older and wider show, isn't there? Because you have to dial it up. I mean, there's truth, I think, in everything that we say, and, you know, I think...
Total truth, but, you know, we have to perform it. We have to perform it rather than just say it. That's the difference, really, isn't it? I mean, it's saying what everybody feels and thinks, but it's packaging it up in a sort of, supposedly, as amusing as possible way.
And it's dialed up. It's, you know, it's sort of exaggerated. It's kind of, you know, you have to do it, otherwise it wouldn't be funny, would it? So, it is rather... revealing.
Yeah, if some of the members of your village come and see you, Judith, I'm not sure whether you're going to be invited on the black tie cycle round traveling dinner party invitation may not arrive next year. And that'll get you off the hook. Okay, now I think we're ready for Culture Corner.
Yes.
We have both been to the theatre this week.
We have.
Tell me first about your trip. Your trip to see Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day, the musical by Tim Mitchin at the Old Vic. Matinee, obviously.
Say Mitchin? It's Minchin.
Oh, Minchin. Is it Minchin? Sorry, Minchin.
Yeah.
That's very much an old lady thing, isn't it? I've started doing that, getting my names just that little bit wrong.
Doesn't the whole audience just have a mass cringe at the same time? I go, Minchin, you silly cow. Yeah, Minchin. Yeah.
I saw Matilda the musical years ago, which he did as well, didn't he? He wrote the sort of musical version of everything.
Yeah.
He's
obviously man.
Completely brilliant. It was great. It was just fantastically well staged, as you can imagine. You know, that opportunity of things happening over and over and over again, but in a slightly different way. But it had this wonderful sort of arc of... self-improvement and acceptance and kind of coming down a sort of a peg or five from how he started off to how he ended up. So it had all sorts of kind of different levels, and it was really funny as well. It was a great show. I loved it. Loved it.
And you did a Saturday matinee, did you not?
Yes, I did. And I took Ellen, who adored it as well. Adored it. And that was very lovely, you know, too. It was lovely to do that with her.
But, well, that's a very good tip for people thinking they might like a nice matinee of an afternoon in London town. Jeb and I also did a matinee, and we went to see The Crucible. Which has, it was in the West End, right? It came from the National Theatre. Very grown up. And it has Live Rain on stage, Judith. Now, I'm not sure this is the best idea when you've got a matinee crowd of ladies of a certain age in the theatre. It did mean every time the rain started, the cues for the news were ridiculous. Absolutely. You know, it was a very, very effective weather effect. It wasn't really a weather effect. It was live rain on stage.
It was weather. It was actual weather.
It was weather. It was actually indoor weather. The designer is a woman called Des Devlin, who I really rate.
Apart from the rain, was it good though?
Yes.
I mean, was it?
Yes, it was very classy, Judith. It was a classy production. It was 3 hours, so you've got to think, you know, you've got to sort of plan your day around that. You've got to sort of make sure that you're not going to be too hungry.
Well, absolutely.
In the last half an hour.
So were the dips
in your stomach.
Because I
made my mind up to sort of actually really concentrate, because, you know, you're meant to know The Crucible. And I had seen it before and I couldn't remember a single thing about it. So this time I concentrated more.
Is it the one where they burn witches at stake? Did they burn witches at stake?
Well, they don't burn anybody, but they start accusing people in their community of being witches. Yes, and they do sort of... I think they hang them or they stone them or they whatever. We didn't see any of that live on stage, thank you very much. but it's a group of teenage girls. And that's always a really powerful thing, isn't it? The sort of the meanness of when the wrong girls get together and they make decisions about, you know, thumbs up and thumbs down around them. It's like social media now. I think that that's why the play is still quite pertinent, because it reflects the horrific bullying and council culture that goes on
how
on social.
Interesting.
The spitefulness. Mm, yeah, yeah, yeah. So it kind of, it might be, I mean, I think it was written, was it in the 40s or 50s? I can't remember. But it's been a sort of staple in British theatre for many years.
It was on all the syllabuses. I'm sure it was on the O-level syllabus, actually.
Yes. And I think it was written as a sort of, a comment on McCarthyism in America. And yet this sort of same thing just repeats, doesn't it? Where people just decide that some people just must not have their say, must not exist, be cancelled or
cancelled
in the old days, stoned to death. Yeah, at least these days you just get cancelled, you don't get taken out and burnt or anyway.
Well, you had a very edifying afternoon, didn't you? Very edifying.
Yes, there was beautiful music as well. Beautiful ensemble singing. Really impressive. Even I, who am tone deaf, understood the music was beautiful. And saw some art this week. Now, this is a bit niche, but for South Londoners, there's a gallery in Vauxhall that is owned and curated by Damien Hirst, and it's called the Newport Street Gallery. It is free, and there's always something interesting on when it's open. And this was a bloke, it was Glass and Collage, a guy called Brian Clark, never heard of him. And I was inspired, Judith. I went, and there was all these collages, and I came home and I did a flower collage.
I saw.
I enjoyed that.
I saw. Well, that's rather, I mean, that's it's done its job, hasn't it? You enjoyed it and it's inspired
it's
you to
do
something.
It's done its job.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talking of art, I saw a wonderful documentary on BBC4 about the Vermeer exhibition at the Rijks Museum. You know, this big kind of definitive, biggest ever Vermeer exhibition, which is booked out.
Is this in Amsterdam?
Yes, it's in Amsterdam, but this is a documentary about the guy that sort of was behind it and why he did it and how it came about. I think you and Jeff would really like this documentary. What struck me with two or three things which were amazing was the guy, whose name I can't remember, is obviously the sort of like the world expert or one of the world experts on Vermeer. And he saw one or two of the paintings for the first time and they filmed it. And he was, you know, he was moved to tears. He knew.
I've had that.
Have you?
In front of
have
paintings.
You?
I've had, yeah, I have. Yeah. In Barcelona, the Picasso Museum, and I was just completely, Picasso is an absolute arsehole, but I was so overwhelmed by the amount of work and everything. I was weepy with it. Yeah.
Wow. It was a lovely thing to witness. And I don't think I'd appreciated quite why Vermeer is so important and so different and so skillful. So there was lots of really nice sort of close-up, looking at the paintings and this guy kind of saying why that was significant. But then there was this American who had bought one recently for $200 million, get this, right? And they transported it over, you know, so he flew over to see it unpacked because it's so precious. It's normally in his private collection and everything. And they kind of took it out of its frame. I don't know why, to clean it or something. I don't know. But obviously he never held it. So they, you know, everybody else would have all these gloves on and almost tweezers, you know, the tension, taking it out of the frame, this thing that's worth so much money. And then he just casually was allowed to pick it up. You know, turn it over, touch
it. It's my Vermeer. If I want to handle it with jam on my fingers, it's my Vermeer.
Exactly. It was really interesting. It's really interesting because, I always find it fascinating that this piece of art is worth so much money. And that is, it's who doesn't find it fascinating? And I've always wondered how they transport things as well. You know, because they're so valuable, aren't they? I mean, it's weird.
Well, they build wooden frame boxes around things, don't they? I mean, even some of the stuff that Jeff's had to ship out, he's had to build wooden boxes around it.
Yeah, so but not only that, it's they do it in secret. I sat next to somebody once whose husband was the person who was the big international mover of art. And it's like, you know, bullion. It's like they're trying, because they know that there's an exhibition, you know, they being the burglars, know there's an exhibition in Reykjavik. So they know all this art's going to be coming. So they have to do it in massive secrecy, which flight it's going on. And, you know, it's kind of, you can't put it in obvious vans.
Hey, Judith.
It's fascinating.
Hey, yeah. Judith, what? Maybe, because you know you and I have been watching Idris Elba's Hijack.
Yes.
And we're like three episodes in, and we have no idea why there's a hijack going on. Maybe it's because there's a Picasso or something, or a Vermeer in the hold.
In the hold? That would be that amazing?
In the hold. I don't think it's going to be that, by the way. But I have been very taken with that tip of yours, the Idris Elba hijacked
it on
Apple TV.
Me. I know.
Yes.
The only frustrating thing about it, because like you, we've just seen episode 3. I thought we'd already watched 3, and I thought they were there to binge. So,
yeah, I know.
So, but we've seen 2. So Mike and I got all, you know, excited. They have to wait another week. I think they've done. I think that's been a mistake, because I think it's sort of binge telly.
I think it's a mistake. People just aren't. You know, people don't want that anymore. It's an old-fashioned thing to do, and it seems weird, but they've done it.
I think we're going to go off the boil.
They can't undo it. I don't think we'll go off the boil, but I think we'll have to watch the catch-up. You know, like they have the catch-up at the beginning, and normally I skip that. Because
we
just yes. But I think, and I'll have to watch that. Anyway, also enjoying on the TV, Banjo Beal designs the Hebrides on iPlayer. Now, do you remember Banjo Beal?
No, I don't. Who's Banjo Beal?
You do, when I tell you, you will kick yourself, because he won the Great Interior Design Challenge a couple of years ago.
Oh, of course
he
did.
He was very pro-banjo.
Of course.
Yes,
oh,
he always stood out. He's a gay Australian.
I know who
he's got
you
his
mean.
Own series now.
Oh.
Yes. And he lives with a hunky husband on a sexy cheese farm on the Hebrides.
Yes.
And, yeah, and he's doing up cafes and bothies and... He's just really good. He's really good. And the people surrounding him are really nice. And it's a very well put together show.
Oh, I like the sound of that. Very much like the sound of that. Mike won't like it, but I will. Thank you. That's a good tip.
Anything else that you've watched on the telly? Watched
the new series of Stage. Do you know the David Tennant and Michael Sheen thing that they did in lockdown? I don't know whether you've seen them. A bit patchy. First one is called Is There a Version? Is there a version of this? Where that happens, is there a version? So it's become a bit of a phrase, hasn't it? It's like, do you know what I mean? So it's a sort of cheeky way.
Oh, yeah, like a catchphrase.
Yes, but it's a cheeky way, I think, of people getting their own way. You know, like if somebody says, well, actually, I want to do it that way. And then the rebounder, this is the premise of this particular episode, the rebounder to that would be, well, is there a version where instead of doing it that way, we do it this way? And actually what you can't say is, well, no, there isn't a version, is there? Because there might be a version. It's sort of, I mean, I you know, that all sounds a bit like tautology, and it is a bit. And by the way, weren't you impressed with the use of my word there? Because I was.
Yeah, I'm quite surprised.
You know what I mean?
Because it's not quite 10 o'clock in the morning.
But that's the gist of it, and it is rather good. But the second one we watched was not so good. But anyway, it's rather jolly. Enjoyed that, yeah.
I've never got into that, I have to say.
I haven't got
into that. But Jeff and I watched a ridiculous Elvis Presley movie on iPlayer. I don't know why we stumbled on it. We were looking for more hijacks. We couldn't find more hijacks because they hadn't been released. So we decided we wanted to see some sun and beach. And it was complete nonsense. I mean, it really was. There was all sorts of un-PC content. They had to have a trigger warning before it, saying, you know, material is...
Blimey.
Yeah. But they had a manservant, an Asian manservant called Ping Pong.
Oh my goodness!
Really, really. I know. It was made in 1961. So there were cringe moments throughout. But, you know, and there's Elvis, right? And his mum was played by Angela Lansbury. Even
Gosh.
When she was only 9 years older than him.
Rich. She already looked very mumsy.
Wow. She did look mumsy, and she was such a good actress as well. I mean, she could just act mumsy. And there were some supposed teenage girls in it as well who all looked 35. But it's just, you know, that Technicolor.
Those films
are just in that 60s. And then you just kind of go, oh, God, life just seemed so much. I mean, apart from the terrible sort of racism, classism and all that sort of thing, but just the beach scenes and just how, you know, the ease of just being able to get in the sea and all this sort of stuff. I don't know, Judith, it just took us away for a while.
Took us away. Took you out of yourselves. That's nice. That's nice. Bit of escapism.
Yeah.
We found a very good film on Netflix called Bridgetown, which is a strange title given what it is, but I think it must be a suburb of Washington. And it's about, it's Vanessa Redgrave and Annette Bening, and I don't know who the male lead was, but basically she's this aging, very eminent Washington journalist. And she's kind of courted by this younger, odd, much younger, I mean like 30 years younger man. Annette Bening plays the daughter who obviously despised this man. And it all ends up very, very badly, as you probably would predict.
This sounds good, Judy.
It is rather good.
Well, I'm going to put that on the list.
Are you right?
That's what I'm going to do. I mean, at the moment, some of your choices I am beginning to trust. There's a few where I go down. Okay. What, Bridgetown on, I'll
Netflix.
Just find out where it is.
It's
I'm not
on
gonna
Netflix.
Ask. Okay, Netflix. Thank you very much. Thank you. I've been listening to Everything's Fine by Celia Rabess, which is one for the cool kids as well. Written and smart, and I can see why it's being talked about. It's an interesting book, but I think, again, it's the academic side of the writer is kind of interfering slightly too much with the story, but it is something to admire. Jeff and I are something I'm still not quite sure about, so I'm going to leave it for a week to see if it's worthy of even mentioning. I have to admit, we dropped Ian McEwan's Lessons because we just fell asleep as soon as it... Yeah, I literally, we never got beyond chapter one. I think I'll listen to it my own.
It's a bad sign, but not at
night. But do you know when you sort of like for the seventh morning in a row, just go, did you hear any of book? And Jeff goes, I didn't hear any of book. Where are we with book? I go, we're still on chapter one. Should we try it again? And we're trying to say, oh dear. Anyway, there we go. On to emails.
Did you see the one from Katie Gray, who's 42 and a half? One of our younger listeners. And it's a long email of lots of things that happened to her last week. But I just think we should
say
the subject heading is, and this is, I think this is one of the best subject headings I've ever seen in an email. It says, the lollipop man has seen my vagina. You can't top that, can you?
And we got it in absolute minute detail about how this happened. It involved a bee, and it is a magnificent story. And if we had extra stage time, we might have, because Katie's coming to the show on Saturday, we might have invited her up on stage to, you know, reveal the whole story. But we can't share the stage. I sharing with you and you getting last is difficult for me. I don't know whether I can throw it out anymore.
Throw our timings out.
And lots of letters.
Yeah,
it would. I'm sorry about that. But, you know, she should really try and publish that or do something with it herself. Okay. We've had lots and lots of letters, emails saying how much people have enjoyed the show. And this is from Sarah. She's 53 and 10 months. She said, I didn't catch any of the mini cheddars, but my friend Anna, who was with her, didn't need them as I bought her 60 bags for her birthday in a sparkly bag with 60 for 60 on them. So she has enough to see her through at work till October. Isn't that such a brilliant idea for a 60th birthday present? 60 bags of mini cheesy mini cheddars.
Can't go wrong with that.
Okay, now then, I know you're terribly busy, so I must let you go. I have house snooping to do, obviously. So you are going to make Rice Krispie cakes for your ridiculous dinner party thing.
Yes.
I'm going to take it easy for the rest of the day because we've got to go out tonight. We're going to go to the press night of The Wizard of Oz at the London Palladium.
Oh, that sounds good. That sounds nice.
Yes.
Lovely.
Yes.
Who's the lead? Yes. Who's playing Judy Garland?
I don't know, but I'm not sure. I haven't checked it all out yet, but I know Jason Manford is the Cowardly Lion.
Oh, lovely.
And he's good fun. So, I'm looking forward to it. I'd rather it was a matinee. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I do,
but they don't
I
do press night matinees. So I'll probably have to scrub up a bit.
I don't know whether I can be bothered. You don't eat toffees. You have to eat. You have to. No, you've got to put something in your bag for that. You better, yeah.
Jeff and I have planned. We're having an early supper. We're having an early supper at Lyon. That's what we're doing.
Excellent idea. Excellent. Okay, well, look, toodle pip, Jenny. Toodle pip, Daisy.
Yes.
And we will see you soon, Daisy.
And we're looking forward to seeing Daisy on Saturday because she couldn't make it last Sunday. We missed her, but she will be there. She will be there on Saturday. Okay, lots of love to everybody and see you soon.
Bye.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.